right. Donna, please say what you want to say.
Gilbert in Florida. Good evening, Gilbert.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to BBS Radio this evening and the callers on the line. It is Monday night. I'm not sure quite yet what we are doing, but I want to take this chance to say thank you for coming to listen to us and being with us. We also have two other calls during the week. Sunday is our healing call, the Bridge Line Healing is our most important call. And Wednesday usually is question and answers. At this time, we're still taking callers coming in. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Pat from Jackson, California.
Hi, Pat.
Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
There was another caller. Would you like to say your name and location?
New Mexico, Braden.
Hi, Braden. Welcome to the call this evening.
Thank you, dear.
Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call this evening.
Hi, Donna. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Carrie from Dallas.
Hey, welcome to the call. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Marilyn, number two, I love you dearly.
Hi, Donna.
Beanie in Citrus Heights.
Hey, welcome to the call this evening. And we have another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, Rick from Iowa City.
Hi, Rick. Welcome to the call this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Caller, would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to the call this evening.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here too, honey. I'd be so alone if you weren't here. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry in Phoenix.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, everybody.
I love you much,
Hi,
Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Is that our Terry?
Yes, it's our Terry.
Oh, great.
And I have Isis giggle in the background.
Hey, but Donna is hired for sure.
You guys right, are twins. You both do a fabulous job. I like the male and female energy going.
Well, thank you very much.
Really, really good tonight, Donna. I'd never heard you do that before. That's great.
That was off the cuff, believe it or not. I just roll with it.
Caller,
would you like to say your name and location?
I'm Anita. I'm in Morristown, Arizona.
Oh, welcome to the call this evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'd be lonesome without you.
Hello, Willow.
Is that Marilyn in Michigan?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you tonight?
We've had another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
I'm really sorry to hear that, Marilyn.
All right, only if you want to. Caller, would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, I'm April, and I'm in Mount Charleston, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, April. Welcome to the call this evening. Have you been with us before?
Yesterday, Rusan. However, I didn't say my name.
That's okay. That's okay. You're allowed to do that, April, anytime you want to. It's called free will.
I'm happy to join you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Caller, would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Donna. It's Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Miss Susan. How are you this evening?
Hi, Susan. It's Willow. Hi.
Hi, Willow.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
All right. Did I miss anybody? Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Donna. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Hey, welcome to the call.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Don.
Hi, everybody.
All right. I heard another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Sedona Jim here.
Hello, Sedona Jim.
Hello, everybody.
Hi,
blessings to everyone.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
How was your birthday?
Thank you for asking. I only age today.
Bless your heart, Jim. Bless your heart.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. I'm so old now, my blood type has been discontinued.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's why you called the rare.
Your birthday created a candle shortage.
Very good. Very good.
All right. Is there anyone else who came in and would like to share their name and location?
It's Wynn in Phoenix.
Hey, Wynn. Welcome to the show this evening.
Hi, Wynn.
Is this your first time here, Wynn?
Yes, I'm just going to say that.
I'm writing this new song. It's called "How Can I Miss You If I Don't Go."
I hear you. I hear you.
Don't go away.
Well, you know what, Wynn? You know what, Wynn? I'm not ready. How about you?
You're not what?
I'm not ready at all. Not at all. Don't even count on me.
Oh, you're not even ready to miss me?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't care if you don't miss me. Just don't be codependent, okay?
Oh, my God.
Let me start the recording here. There
this
we go.
Conference is being recorded.
All righty. Have a good show.
2015, and for all you guys that are missing everything. Jim had a birthday, and he's just a year more obnoxious than he used to be.
Aren't we all?
Happy birthday, Jim.
I resemble that remark, Uncle Wynn.
Well, there's still time to make restitution. Now, Jim is trying to think, how do I come back to that one?
No. I'm so enchanted by your voice, I'm speechless.
Well, love you, Jim. I love you, Wynn.
Hey.
Where did you come from? I thought Donna was doing it.
She was her introduction night tonight, and she's certainly hired.
All right. Just don't let her know she was too good, or she might demand too much money, you know?
Hey, let's keep the budget this.
Hey, it was only two nickels are rubbed together. I don't know where you got too much from.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Did I do that?
All right. Well, Terry and I had an exciting weekend, which we'll tell you about, and you know, nothing ever happens the way we think it's going to happen. But I thought there'd be something good to share about this, and it's like the original topic that I put up tonight was unslaving yourself. And then I've been preparing to do a fundraiser for Terry Friedman. So let me start out with the fundraiser so you guys know what's going on. Terry Friedman, are you there? Hello, Terry? But he's not here. Okay. Don't tell him I told you this, okay? But some years ago, I mean, I don't know if this goes well for being the reincarnation of Matthew, okay? But some years ago, Terry had an ongoing relationship with a really famous Hollywood actress. And I told him about a month ago to give me her phone number. I was going to call her because maybe she could help him in some way. I mean, she was really big. And so I called her and we got to talking. And I thought I might get to talk to her about some of my stuff, but not a chance. She's very a new age, and I didn't feel the right energy to talk about it. Maybe I will in the future. But I did tell her a little bit about Terry, and then a few weeks ago, she called me back, and she said that there's this really renowned healer, doctor. He's actually an MD. in Mexico, and she was bringing him up to do a thing at her house to introduce him to, you know, different Hollywood types who might avail themselves of his services. And that she said that she had talked him into, she talked him into being willing to treat Terry for nothing. He said he's had success with MS. But, you know, he would waive his $6,000 cost. But Terry would have to get to California, and he'd need a caregiver. And it seemed like it was going to be really hard to make that happen. And so the guy then said, "But I'll tell you what, if you can raise the expenses, I'll go to Arizona and Phoenix, and I'll go to his nursing home and treat him there." And so we're raising the expenses for that. Now, you know, a lot of things don't work. I don't kid myself. It may not work. But then it might, and if you try enough things, sooner or later something will work, maybe, and otherwise you get another life and keep going. So on today's email, I put a little donation button for raising some money for Terry Friedman. And for those of you that may not know who Terry Friedman is, Terry... don't believe any of this. You got to check it out for yourself. Terry heard a voice in his head some 15 years ago. He thought Jesus was talking to him. Jesus told him that he was Matthew reincarnated, and he wanted him to set the record straight on what really happened. And he said he was going to counsel him and work with him on updating a new edition of the Book of Matthew, which Terry then spent some 7 years doing, and somehow or another, he's got all the memories of that. And, of course, I would be skeptical. I was skeptical, and I tested it. I'm not going to go through all the ways I tested it, but I'm inclined to believe that he was Matthew, that Jesus was connecting with him, and our sources say that when I ask them. And if you've never been exposed to him, or even if you have, it's a very inspiring book he wrote called The Man Who Walked with Jesus. And I have it available. I put up a website, did a little video in Terry's living room. And the website is themanwhowalked.com, manwhowalked.com. And you can get the book Terry wrote, or you can download the PDF. The suggested donation is $12. But you can put in your own price and get it for as low as $5. And I recommend it. It's very inspiring. And I've learned a lot from knowing Terry and talking with him, because I have had to integrate who Jesus was into our work. And, you know, Terry didn't have that integrated. And in talking to him, there were a number of things that convinced me. Not only was he really talking to Jesus, but reiterating the manner in which Jesus interfaces with our work. You know, Carla Ruckert, of course, who has been a regular on our calls until she passed, and she's still a regular from the other side. Carla went to church every Sunday, and she was channeling the raw material. And to her, no breach in the fact that she was a Christian and loved Jesus and was channeling the raw material, which you would think there would be, they wouldn't go together. Edgar Casey believed it was the Christ who was coming through him. And of course, my work kind of has convinced me that the Ra group was very connected to Jesus, and perhaps it was part of the Ra group's plan to do that. And in Wilcox channelings, early channelings, the Ra group said through Wilcox, "We came to you in our religion, Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up." And so the fact that Terry Friedman has ended up in our group, and I did not meet him knowing that he was Matthew. I knew him for 3 or 4 months, just knowing that he was a very metaphysically savvy MD who was one of the founders of holistic medicine in this country. And of course, Terry Brown and I both have been into alternative health, for we met over alternative health years ago. And so, you know, we had a lot to talk about. And it wasn't until I went to his house 3 or 4 months after we first met and I saw the book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus, lying on his dining room table. And at the time, that was Terry's marketing strategy, to put it on the dining room table. And somebody discovered it, well, he would sell another book. And that's Terry Friedman calling me now. Hang on just a moment. Terry Brown?
Yes.
I might get disconnected here. Why don't you take center stage for a moment? Can you do that?
Terry Brown, you're muted probably. Dear Terry Brown?
Yes.
All right. Do you have anything you want to share with the group, Terry?
Okay. Yeah, you're just talking in the background, so I will...
Okay, you're still at the show, in Phoenix still, right?
Yeah, we're in Phoenix.
Okay.
We did a show for Saturday and Sunday, and then we were really, really tired because the shows are pretty long in the daytime. So we've been resting, and last night there was a whole lot of banging going on at the hotel, and Smokey asked them for a 3-night, and they gave it to us. So we're staying one more night here.
All right. Good. That's good. So it's a little time away from home. Take a breath.
Okay. I'm back. Okay.
All right.
So that was Terry Friedman. I think he's going to come on the call. I think so. We'll see. But I told him, don't come on the call because I'm trying to raise money for you. So just stay in the background. So we'll see if we raise the money. I bet we do. We need about $2,000, okay? And if we raise the money, I think the doctor is going to go there on the 13th and come to Phoenix and spend about 3 days. We have to raise enough money for him and his assistant to fly here, stay in a hotel, rent a car, and maybe Terry Brown and I will come down and just help hold positive energy on it and see what happens. You know, when it comes to healing, you never know. And I won't be upset if it doesn't work, but, you know, you never know, okay? So, So in any case, so I was going to tell you about Phoenix. And, you know, we talk about unslaving yourself. And I know that when people have a predisposition, and I have the same predisposition. When you hear me talking, it sounds like, my God, Wayne is really good. I wasn't always that good, but I'm getting better. And it looks like, you know, I've got the world by a string. And none of that's true, because when we're off the call, it's on to the next thing. And I don't anyone, you know, knows me, that I don't hold on to the past. I move right in the moment to the next thing. And then every day I got challenges. And it's interesting because I have always in my life managed, not always, but I should say often in my life, I've had what seemed to be insurmountable obstacles, and I felt trapped. And somehow, I found ways to get untrapped or to get enslaved. And I think the very first time this happened to me was in kindergarten. And it was, I was in a closet. I did something bad, and the teacher was punishing me. And she put me in a closet, and I was supposed to feel really bad. And I remember, as you know, just like it happened yesterday, I took a marble into the closet with me, and I kept bouncing the marble. And I said, I'm going to have fun playing with my marble here in the closet. And so I didn't feel like I was trapped because I was playing with my marble. And then there's another story in my life, just jumping forward, where years ago I was playing music, and somebody took me into an audition at a discotheque at this bar and dance hall in Greenwood Lake, New Jersey. And I played a few songs for the guy, and he looked at me and said, your music's way too quiet for this place, but how much do you charge? And I said, $25. He looked at me and he felt sorry for me. So he said, I'll put you on between the bands tonight, but don't be disappointed. You paid me $25. So I got up on stage and I was in between the bands, and I started playing a couple of my songs, and sure enough, I could have been invisible. I mean, no one could see me. I mean, it was like everyone was talking, drinking, flirting, whatever they do in bars. And so I think it was my third song, and I went into this thing like, I mean, I felt like bored. I felt trapped, and I said, how do I reach these people? And I looked at the audience, and I didn't even think it. I just said it. I said, now we're going to do a primal scream. And I screamed at the top of my lungs. And there was not, you could hear a pin drop. Every single person in the room looked at me. And I had this moment of panic. And I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? And I looked at the group of people in the room, and I said, okay, you're going to do a primal scream back to me. I did 1, 2, 3, and everyone screamed back. And so I screamed, they screamed, we were screaming for the next 30 minutes, and I walked off the stage, and the guy who owned the place, Tommy Granatelli was his name, it was called TG's, he said, okay, you're hired for the summer. And so now, so what am I going to do? Go up there every night and scream to the crowd. So I didn't have any money. I didn't have any place to live. So there was a house band, and I talked them into letting me pitch a tent in their backyard, which was across the street from the discotheque. And then I would go over to the discotheque, and then it evolved. And instead of screaming, I started inviting all the other band members up, and we would do these big jams. And, of course, that was unusual at that time because it was like everything was top 40. Everyone was copying the major band's arrangement. And by the time the summer was done, I was like a legend in that town. And it started out because I looked at the audience and I said, I am going to reach these people. And I screamed. And you know, it's things like that that I've always done and that other people can do this. You know, they can't do what I can do, but they can break through impossible circumstances and make them work. And you can't do it in your mind. It's kind of like you have to take the moment and jump. And when you're beset, feeling enslaved and trapped and no money, whatever problem, whatever, you know, you've got to take baby steps, little steps. And one step leads to another, to another, to another. Before you know it, you're confident. And some synchronicity will happen. I mean, I have watched synchronicities all my life. You know, I finally, after being at that discotheque in Greenwood Lake, decided I was good enough to go to be a successful songwriter. And I went to Los Angeles, and I went to a songwriter showcase. And who was there at the songwriter showcase but the guy who managed the house band for the discotheque, Mark Gilliton? He managed them, and he knew me, and he loved my songs. And he came to Los Angeles to be successful in the music business, and he was working for a big publisher. He's the guy that introduced me to Brian Holland, and it was because I was sleeping in the tent in the backyard of the band. And this is how crazy things work. There's all kinds of things you can make happen if you get in between the cracks. So this weekend was one of those weekends where I did something in between the cracks again. And I did something we haven't done. I haven't done in a long time. I went to a show to sell something. And the show we went to was something I used to go to do a long time ago. And it was a gun show. And gun shows were never my favorite shows. The only thing that was good about them is they were cheap to get in. But usually the guys there are gnarly with big beer bellies, and there's an occasional old soul, and they don't want to be bothered, and they're gruff. And Terry was sitting next to me. How would you describe it, Terry? You're muted. I mean, you're still muted. Terry Friedman, are you there? You're muted, Terry.
Okay.
So.
I hear you now. Okay.
Okay.
How do those gun show people look to you?
They're very self-determined. They look in better shape than the majority of people. Their stomachs are generally flat instead of sticking out. And they are very self-determined. Like if you said, come over here, they would say, no, thank you. Usually you can do a demo and people will be cooperative and come over and take part in it. But probably one-third of the people, just when you invite them to take part in the demo or see the demo, they just say no thank you and walk on. They're very self-determined people.
So, you know, we got there Saturday morning, and I was going to sell a product that I had never sold at a show before. And I always would develop a way. Could you mute yourself, Jerry? Because it's echoing. I would pick products that needed some kind of demonstration that it didn't just, you know, no one ever just walks up to a table and says, give me one of those. It's not like a supermarket show. The show, you know, you've been to shows where the guys are doing chamois and cleaning solutions and mops and whatever, and they're all busy working away. They're demonstrating their product. And people will buy products at a show that they never heard of because somebody did a good demonstration. And so I was going to go there and see if those little auto-ozone things would sell, the things we've been putting up to our group for the past few months that we've gotten a lot of good feedback on. And I was thinking, how can I do a demonstration of that product? And so, as some of you know, when you put it in your car, it really makes this very fresh feeling in your car and exhilaration a little bit. It adds more oxygen to your car. And so you can't just go there and tell that to people, all right? Because they won't believe you. So I got this fan, and I got a 12-volt power supply, and I put the ozone unit on the fan, and then I put these two switches. So when somebody would walk by, I'd say, come on over here and smell this. And then put their nose to the fan when there was no ozone, and then I would click the switch, and they would smell it. And depending on how they liked it, they might like to buy the product. Well, I had this set up on Saturday, and I think we went through a good portion of the day, and we didn't make a single sale. And Terry was sitting there watching me, and it was one of those, I've had this feeling before, like, you know, this isn't going to work, nobody's going to buy it, I might as well shut down and go home and have a nice Sunday. But I stuck it out. And then on Sunday, I kept experimenting. You know, in other words, I didn't know what to do, I didn't know what to say, so I kept experimenting on what to tell people. And at first I was telling people it gets rid of smells, it kills germs, it does all the stuff which ozone does. But then I finally hit on what I would tell people that would really make them stop in their tracks. At least more people at a gun show would stop in their tracks, okay? And what I told them was, hey, it's like putting an oxygen bar in your car. It makes you more alert. It makes you more energy. And come here. Don't you want to see if it works for you? And so most people still didn't come over, but we were getting enough people walking over. And then they'd start to smell the fan, and then I would turn on the ozone machine, and I said, come on, take a deep breath. Do you feel that? Does it feel good? And it ended up buying it. And it's kind of amazing when you do that because they make their own mind up. And then Terry kept watching me, and she was feeling sorry for me most of Saturday, and she thought it was going to be a wash. And then on Sunday, she made 4 sales. And, you know, Terry is really shy. That's a big deal for her to call somebody over and go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then turn the ozone on. And, you know, part of the reason I was doing this, part of it, is because in case we need extra money, in case for any emergency, it's good to be able to have a product like that. You can go out and sell like crazy. And the other thing is, there's so many people in our group that are having a hard time financially. This is a fairly easy demonstration. If somebody learns the demonstration, you know, you're not trying to convince anybody of anything. You're just demonstrating it. And people will like it or they don't. If you do it right and say the right things, they like it, they'll buy it. And I wanted to have some product that was really easy to sell that people in our group could go out and do, like go to the local swap meet. The thing about it is, no one else is selling it. Probably no one else will sell it. And so, you know, basically, it's hard to find a product that no one's selling. That, you know, it's not that I have an exclusive on it, but it's not easy to put it all together and figure it out. And in this country, no one's hardly anywhere. I've never seen it anywhere. And I know they sell it in Europe, and they sell it in Asia. So, you know, the chances are somebody could be selling it, no one else is going to sell it for a long time. If someone starts to sell it, it's because they saw you selling it, and they try to track it down. But then they have to be able to build the fan and the little switches. Too complicated for most people. But, you know, when I used to do this kind of stuff, I would, you know, make really kind of clever ways of demonstrating things. And it would be amazing how much money one could take in a day. So we're still experimenting with it. If you're looking to make money, don't email me yet. Or you can email me and tell me, hey, I'm interested. But I suggest you buy one, play with it, try it, put it in your car, see if you like the way it feels before, because you have to like something to sell it, you know? And I like these things. I personally like it myself. I notice it in the car. The car feels clearer. And so that's how we moved through what looked like it was going to be a failure. So I wouldn't say a big success, but it would be a big success if we had hundreds or thousands of dollars, which we didn't. But it was success because I now know if I go to, for example, a New Age show or a health show or something other than a gun show, I know exactly how to demonstrate it. I know exactly how people will respond, and it could be extremely successful. So we'll just have to wait and see, and we'll test it again. And when I get a little more track record on it, I'll let people know. Okay. But in any case, in this realm, it's really hard to get out of all the control mechanisms here, and maybe it's impossible. Maybe it's not just hard, it's impossible. You have to be resilient enough when something, one thing doesn't work, to jump into another, to another, to another. Because how are we being controlled? Well, you know, without going into the long stories of it, we know that there are secret organizations behind our government that are manipulating us big time, manipulating our government, manipulating newspapers, manipulating movies. And they've been doing it for years. And it's a grand scale manipulation. And they have an agenda on their part. And when you go up the ladder, you find that these secret organizations are being manipulated by ETs. And some people call them reptilians, grays, whatever. And how does it all work? Well, the ETs can channel through people. They can tell people that they're Jesus. They can tell people this, that, and the other thing. In fact, that was one of the things I learned early on through the Carla Rucker channelings, that they described how they call them the Orions, were, you know, hell-bent on taking over our planet, and that they would pick people and channel to them, and if somebody was negative, they would just channel their own negative self. But if somebody was, like, positive and, you know, trying to channel angels or whatever, they could intrude on the channeling and put in their own stuff, and it's almost like if you're listening, you'd miss a beat because you wouldn't notice. You would just take it in. They have a huge influence in this realm, and they have a huge influence on the media and on movies and on music. And then more and more people are becoming aware of all the Illuminati symbolism in the music videos of people like Miley Cyrus, Christina Aguilar, Madonna, and of course, Britney Spears. And aside from Madonna, the other three women were all graduates of Disney. And they were all kind of presented as innocent young girls. And it's no accident that these young, innocent women, or seemingly so, ended up becoming decadent rock star goddesses with elaborate sets and doing all this overt kind of sexual stuff in their performances. And I tell people to look this up. You'll be quite amazed if you look up Walt Disney and sex on YouTube. You'll find all these hidden messages in Walt Disney's movies. And the ones that were very innocent, the Lion King, Snow White, you name it. You know, you'll see castles that have penises instead of spires. You'll see the word sex scrolled out on the sky. You'll see a small naked woman in a window. If you think that's not true, look it up yourself and see it with your own eyes, because it most definitely is true. And once you see it, you go look at the original movie and you'll see it there. And then you look at people like Miley Cyrus, who had one of the Disney TV shows for a number of years. And she was very beautiful and innocent, and all the young people loved her. And then she grew up to be a decadent pop star, and she took all those young people with her. And this is no accident. This is totally by design. This is designed to break down our society, to enslave everybody, to enslave the young people, to make them addicted. One of the things is a breakdown of the family unit, because if you're going to take over a planetary population, then one of the ideas is people are strong inside a family unit. But if you take away the family unit, they lose their strength. They lose their ability to stand up nearly as well. And so the young people are very subdivided right now and scattered, most of them, not all of them, but many of them. And they're into drugs, and they're living day to day to day to day to day. And a lot of those people are wanderers who came in from higher realms. So it's like we're living in a tricky world. All of us have been programmed. Every one of us is programmed, whether we're programmed by our religion, by New Age, by the government, by our parents, by the neighborhood, by what's the mores of society. I can't do that, what you should do, what's within the realm of appropriateness. And we're programmed by what we learned in school. A lot of what we learned in school was perverted, was screwed up to make certain points. History, when you start going into it, has so many holes in it. And the way our history looks is designed to all make us, our country, always look right and good and noble. And I wish that was true, but unfortunately, it's not true. And somehow or another, we have to get over our own programming, because it makes us always look outside of ourselves for answers, for what to do, and thinking that we're going to be supported. Something the government's going to help us. They're not going to let it all fall apart. And, Michael Jackson wrote the song, "They Don't Care About You." He was talking about this very issue, that they don't care about you. I mean, you can take things of Bush referring to the general population as the meat eater. What does he call them, Terry? The food eaters? It was a very condescending way of referring to people, saying that they're just bothering us because all they need is food, okay? And the useless eaters, that's what he said, the useless eaters. And, there's a thing called the Georgia Guidestones, saying they'd like to reduce the population of the world 75% or more. And and that's anyone who goes deeply into studying this, that's pretty obvious that that's true. There's way loads of indications that there are very powerful groups that are not out front, but they're getting more so. And they're not fringe. They're in the middle of everything. George Bush, Henry Kissinger, Donald Cheney. I'm pretty sure Obama's under the control of those groups who would like to reduce the world's population tremendously. And you look through history, you find out that there was an intention to break down the family unit and bring drugs into society, and the drugs would have the propensity to break down the family unit. And that started in the 60s. I mean, there's more before that, but there's a line. There's a line between all of that and really negative groups, control factors that are bringing that about, and controlling the literature, and people think they're free, but they're not free. They're totally programmed, and it's up to each of you to do your own investigation. And there's never in history has there been so much information available with the internet that if it wasn't for the internet, I could never have figured out what I'm doing. And not to believe me, I'm not going to be, don't say Wynn said this. You have to do your own due diligence. You have to care enough about your own freedom, because it doesn't mean you can change these patterns. It doesn't mean that you can change our planet. You know, it doesn't mean you can save our planet. It doesn't mean that we can't. We might. But we can save ourselves, and we can graduate this realm, and we can become, the more people who are empowered, the more people who can hold energy for planetary shift. And people can figure out what's really going on and not what they're told is going on. And I mean, I think one of the hardest things is realizing, it may not be true for all of you. Some of you may have good families, and your families are looking over your shoulder, and you do have strength in your family. And it's less and less people could say that's true probably these days, but I'm sure it's still true for many people. It was never true for me. And I remember really when my parents died, how alone I felt, even though they weren't that there for me. I still was really, really feeling alone and isolated. And when I realized if I didn't figure out how to get it together, I was going to die because no one was going to do it for me. There was no structure in place to help me. And some of you who realized that, then that's when I started, you know, pulling myself up by the bootstraps. And I wasn't that together at all. I was not that together. I was not worldly. In fact, the world scared me. And yet, usually, I mean, I had situation after situation after situation where I got really beat down, and I had to keep resurfacing to get to the next thing. And I mean, what I'm doing now, it's hard for me to, you know, I would never in my wildest imagination believe I could be doing it. And I suppose one of the reasons they started working with me is because I do have that quality, and I don't quit. I keep doing it. It doesn't work this way, I'll do it that way. It doesn't work that way, I'll do it the other way. As long as I believe in what I'm doing, I will keep pressing forward until I do it. And you know what? I see people all the time giving up, shrugging their shoulders, being a victim, cursing out the system, cursing out the people around them. And if you do that, it freezes you in your position. You've got to, like, rattle the cage. You've got to, like, move through it. And there's always something to do. And even when it seems hopeless, you know, I know the feeling of how that feels. I know how hopelessness can come over you, and it doesn't feel like there's anything you can do. Well, you're wrong. There is something. Sometimes you're looking for the big fix, and there may not be the big fix present. But you know what? You have to get the big fix, you have to do the small fix. You have to do little things, step by step, that seem like nothing, like they're not going to lead anywhere. But you have to make yourself feel successful at the creation of small successes. And by the creation of small successes, you start building the energy for big successes. And it works. But if you're frozen and you don't do anything, you're gonna fail. You will fail. Let me just say for sure that you will fail, but the chances are pretty high that that will occur because you don't know how to put the energy out to bring successful things to you. And so people think I can save them, or the Elohim can save them. No, I can't, nor can the Elohim. But they can add to your energy. When you start doing things, they can add momentum and strength to what you're doing, so it increases the chances that something will happen. And I'm not saying what you're doing or what's supposed to happen. For everyone, it's going to be different. Whether it's from getting a job, starting a business, healing your grandmother, supporting your children, loving your husband, God knows what. We all are individuals with our own challenges of where we want to go. But don't think of it in big terms. If you are going to do something, and this is a hard one because you don't have any money and you want to make a career. But if you want to do some kind of light working thing, don't think of it as a career at first. Think of it as, can I really do this? Can I really do a healing? Can I really counsel someone? Do I have it in me? And if you start trying to charge for it, and you're not sure if you have it in you, you could be conning somebody. And it doesn't matter if you got a diploma or you went to a class. It doesn't matter. You know, maybe that matters to help get a little attention, okay? You hang a shingle on your wall and say, Winfried, graduate of the Holistic Healing Academy. So you have something to start off with. But when somebody calls or knocks on the door, you have to know you have the ability to give to them something, and you have to prove it. And as you do, you get more and more and more confident. And everyone has to go through this. Everyone starts out in a state where they don't necessarily believe in themselves. And we've all been programmed, and to some extent or another, most of us have been programmed to feel worthless. Okay? That's in the programming of this realm, to feel worthless. And, you know, I've read this, and I'm pretty sure this is true at this point. One of the things about the negative, whether it's the Orions or the Cabals, whatever, you know, they have an agenda of keeping you from evolving your DNA. Because if you did, they couldn't have power over you. So one of the reasons they create fear, and they create oppression, and they program you is to keep you in your little box. And so you got to see what they're doing, and you got to review everything in yourself, and at least start out getting the mental stuff right. Because if you're walking around thinking the government is benevolent, you're wrong. Anyone who thinks that is wrong, unfortunately. I don't like to say people are wrong, but that is so far from the truth that I know it's true. It's not a matter of opinion. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And what's true is true. And, you know, thinking in terms of conspiracy theorists is a way they have of programming our vocabulary so we won't get to know too much and we can dismiss things. We can dismiss things as a conspiracy theory. We can dismiss them as a cult. We can dismiss them as being, oh, he's gay, if that's like one of your ways of dismissing something, or he's got that kind of lifestyle. And we dismiss things. And none of this stuff is wrong. None of it should be dismissed so easily. But we're programmed to dismiss things that could be contrary to the system, the enslavement system. Why do they want to enslave us? Because there's a number of reasons. They want control of this planet. There's a lot of, when I've asked questions, there's a lot of portals here that ETs want. They want access to. They want our energy. It's a whole story unto itself of why they want to enslave us. But we can enslave ourselves. We have to. We have to enslave ourselves. You know, there's a common word that's used in conspiracy language. They call people sheeples. Sheeples. Because they are bound to the system and the system paradigms, okay? And they're not thinking for themselves. And if you think for yourself, you know, like I said, look up Disney and sex on YouTube. You'll see all the things. Look up 911 conspiracy. You'll see 1,000 YouTubes, and the evidence is just overwhelming, in my opinion, that there's more to it meets the eye. What I noticed myself is, you know, my whole story, I've had a lot of experience keeping telling my story, and I'll keep telling it. But for a lot of people, when it gets to a certain point, they just go unconscious. They don't hear me anymore because it's too much. I mean, they'd have to, if they actually believed it was true, it would change their life. It would cause them to have responsibility that they didn't know they had. So about time to leave. Listen, check the email today. Make a donation to Terry Friedman. And also, I put up a talk I did 2 weeks ago on Prophecy Keepers. And it was a really, really good talk. It's nothing new. It's the same old stuff. So you don't have to listen to it. But if you're new to our calls, it's really good to listen to it because it gives the whole timeline very succinctly for the past 12 or 13 years about all the things that happened to me that put me in the position of what I'm doing now. And it'll help you understand it better. And the guy who was the interviewer, what's his name, Blue Otter, said it was the best and most important talk he's heard in his entire 12 years of being on the air. And this guy has heard everybody. So it was really good. It was good. It was a really good flow. It just kept going. So if you're new to our work, it's on the email I sent out today. If you're on that list, and it's the Prophecy Keepers interview, there's the Terry Friedman donation button. And let's see if we can't come up with pretty close to a couple thousand dollars and get this guy to Phoenix to see Terry. And on that note, I thank you all for being here. I thank Donna for doing an extraordinary job greeting everybody and giving Hives a night off. I thank Terry for always doing an extraordinary job. And, you know, we're coming up on another Monday where we do How the Elohim Created the Universe, where we channel that. So maybe we'll do that next week. We'll see. And all of you who are just showing up and holding the energy, it really works. You're making a difference. You're holding the energy, and you're making a group energy. We've got a lot of attention from the higher sources, We built a really great foundation. So thank you all for doing that, and particularly being on our Sunday calls, helping us with our group intentions, which some people call prayers. That note.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Terry.
Shift everybody from C-Surfer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Donna.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
Much love, everybody. Everybody have a great night.
Okay, Donna.
Oh, but you're doing the radio.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn. Was great.
Have a lovely evening. Have a lovely evening.
Wait a minute.
Thank you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.